Amen, amen, amen. We want to thank our brothers for leading us in our service thus far. Thank you for the spirited songs, for the scripture, for the prayer, for the Lord's table and collection. And now we approach that time once again in the Word. Zechariah 9:9, if you have your Bibles. Zechariah 9:9. You can keep your finger there. And I'm going to start in Luke 19. Today is Palm Sunday. Next week, the world will be celebrating Easter. And I want to look at this Palm Sunday, this event that happened. Look at Luke 19, verse 28. And it says, when he had said this, he went up on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he came near Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose him and bring him here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing him? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of him. And so those who were sent departed and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said, why are you loosing the colts? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own garments on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and he said to them, I tell you that if they should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And now as they drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will embank men around you, surround you, enclose you on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. And then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. I want to move back real quick to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We ask that you would open our eyes to the truths that are contained therein, that you would help us to see the things that we need to see, Lord, that you would help us to apply the principles we need to apply. And Lord, if there's one today that needs to come and surrender to you, I just pray, Father, that you would move them to make a decision for you before it's everlasting too late. Help us, Lord, as we look at this this word this morning, and just pray that this sermon might touch us in a way that you have intended it for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe some of y'all don't know, but I am an avid Eagles fan. And last year, football year that is, we started out, oh man, we started out, came out the gate. I don't know if y'all even remember, I was excited about my Eagles, and we were having ugly wins, but we were having wins. And remember, I wrote a little article and just looking at the grit of the Eagles and how it didn't matter what they were going through and all that. They found a way to win. Until that night in San Francisco. And San Francisco came in and they right in the mouth. They showed us something, and we were never, ever, 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 ever the same again. All right. Some of y'all who are Eagles fans, y'all feel me. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, and here she is. Forget, I ain't even going to bring them into it, but anyway. We start out with all this great excitement and all of that, and then by the end of the year, it was miserable. Listen, I used to post a lot about the Eagles until after that started declining. I didn't say nothing. You wouldn't see nothing on my post about anything football related. Anyway, like, maybe he didn't hear me. I don't know. I want us to imagine, really, just for a moment, being in that crowd. In that crowd. The atmosphere as they were thinking and hearing about this Jesus that was coming. You know, many of us know and recognize that the Jews were looking for a king. They were looking for a different king than Jesus, but they were looking for a king. They didn't understand the type of Lord and king that they really had. But in their minds, they thought they were going to find this military leader who was going to lead them out of Roman rule, give them and restore them back their rightful place in the world scene. And so here they are hearing about this man Jesus. Could this be Messiah? Not Messiah as we know it, Messiah as they understood it. The air was probably thick, and the crowds that were all there, is they're hearing about this man named Jesus that's coming. And here they are yelling and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, means save us now. Save us now. Their long-awaited Messiah, the king, the conquering king, had finally come to liberate them. And so they roll out the royal carpet. You know, like in you know, you got the Oscars that just came and they have the royal carpet. Well, this carpet was a different royal carpet, but it signified the same thing. Here they're putting those palm branches down, making a path, making a way, spreading it out before the donkey's cart, because this was now his triumphant march. And here they are, just like in the sporting crowds and the arenas, and you can just hear the crowds kind of just cheering him on, just like they did the Eagles. Yeah, cheering him on. Go win. We want, because your win is our win. And so they were hoping that this conquering king would come and do what they thought he would do. And so he comes with this joyous arrival. Comes as the people are hailing him king and Messiah and yelling and sharing all these things down. They're putting down a piece of themselves for him. But I want you to see something, and we'll, you already know the end of this, because as the title suggests, these cheers turned eventually to tears. This excitement was short-lived, because they didn't really understand Jesus' ministry. They had their own expectations on how he would be, how he would liberate them, in all of those type of things. And when Jesus came and didn't fit their expectations, meet their expectations, he came to his own. His own didn't receive him. His own turned away from him. His own that should have known him and recognized him and all of that. And even right now, didn't mean to go there. Even right now, you know, they were cheering and all that without a full understanding of who Jesus Christ is and was. And yet here now they're throwing themselves down before him. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But I want you to see something. Mark 11, I'm not going to read all the verses, but pretty much it's a very, very similar. And I want you to look at verse 9. It says, then though when he went before and those who followed crying, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes to the in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I thought I had Zechariah. Oh, here it is. I want you to see something about this first and foremost. Zechariah is where in the Bible? The Old Testament, right? And so we have a prophet here, and he's foretelling about this great event. Now, I want you to just to look at this for a moment, because really this is telling us something. This is telling us that God has been thinking about us, about our salvation, for a whole long time. Matter of fact, the Ephesian writer says that from the very foundation of the earth, before he even created us, he already had a plan for us that included his son Jesus coming to die for us. So this was no surprise for him that man would mess up, but here's the love of God shining through, because when you mess up, he comes and helps us to clean up. And this is the love that we see throughout Scripture, throughout Scripture. You know, I was teaching a Bible class a few months ago, or a month and a half ago, and in that class, I was teaching about evangelism and talking about evangelism in the Old Testament. Oftentimes, we jump right to the New Testament and don't recognize that God had instructed his people always to be a mouthpiece to the world, always to be a light to the world, always. That God always had a love and a desire for all mankind, not just the Jews. Some would kind of put it as if the Old Testament, he only loved the Jews and hated everyone else. That's just not true. That's not the Bible I read. God has always loved and shown his love for all mankind and offers relationship to all who will come. The problem is just all won't come. That's the problem, right? But this shows us that God has been thinking about us, always thinking about us. And so this is the reality. The unspoken reality is that Jesus, while the crowds were cheering, Jesus knew. Jesus knew what was before him. People had, they misunderstood his ministry. They misunderstood the person of Jesus. And yet he there, knowing all, seeing all. You saw him weeping over Jerusalem immediately. Why can he weep? Because he can identify with our struggles. He can see how lost we really are. And it pains him. And so it pains him to compassion, and it pains him so much that he goes to a cross. While everyone else had no understanding of everything that's going on, Jesus knew. And that tells us about our Lord and our Savior. That tells us about the extent of love that he has for each of us, because he knew the rejection he would have to endure. He knew the pain he would have to suffer. He knew that Gethsemane was before him. He knew that the cross was before him. He knew that the pain of those that had been following him would be coming. But he knew there was something greater than all of that. The salvation of all mankind through what Jesus did on the cross. And we'll be talking about that on next week, no doubt. But then here's our question. What's our response? See, Jesus, he comes to give us this contrast between triumph and tragedy, palm branches and a cross, And we're confronted, as we look at Jesus, we're confronted about the heart of the gospel, the agony of Christ, that the abundant life that springs forth. You know, it looks like something that's terrible and horrible, but yet that's the very seed that is planted that sprouts forth life for each and every one of us. Christ's death, he goes to that cross, he empties himself, he does it for us because of his motivated by love for each and every one of us. So that we have an opportunity. And he gives it all up. But that's the very thing he's asking us to do also. Jesus emptied himself. He steps out of heaven and he makes himself low. And he empties himself for others. For others. And that's the very model that he has for us. If you're going to come to Christ, you've got to come empty. You've got to come recognizing him as Lord, him as King, saying, look, it is not about me. I empty myself, Lord. Here's the branch I throw down before you, Lord. I empty myself for you, Lord. And then he desires to pick up the pieces and put us all together. He is the one that reconciles us to the Father. He is our interceder, our intercessor. He's our mediator. He's our in-between. I'm saying a whole bunch of the same thing so you can get it. He's the way. I mean, if he's it, it's not about me. It's all about him. Today, this morning, someone here this morning, you can make a decision to walk with him, to die for him, to die in him in order to live and reign with him. This can be your, this is a decision for you to make here this morning right now. I don't know where you are. I don't know, what your situation is, but if you find yourself this morning outside of God's love, it's not because he didn't do everything possible. He's done his part. Jesus emptied himself. He came down to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He modeled a perfect life. He died. He was resurrected in our place because sin always demanded blood. The Old Testament, go all the way back to the Old Testament. Even after Adam sinned, the first very thing that God clothed him with was the skin of an animal. In order to get that skin, you had to shed some blood. And so that system has been in place up until the time that Jesus came to be the last sacrifice for all. He comes to be the lamb slain before for all. He comes to give his life as the ultimate sacrifice. No more blood is needed because his blood was enough. And so today, if you want to be with the Lord, you've got to get in contact with this blood that washes, that cleanses you. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Maybe there's someone here today, then you're ready. You're ready to do something. You're ready to put the Lord on. You've heard the gospel message. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, and he rose. And you're ready to come and surrender to him. Give your life to Jesus. Be buried in the water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. Allow the Lord to wash away your sins. And you come and rise as a new creature in Christ, as a new creation. This is your day. This is your opportunity. Maybe you're a member of the church and you need prayers. I'm going to give you this opportunity also for you to come forward. And if you'd like to ask for some prayers from the church, this is your opportunity. Whatever your need is, whatever you need, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?